king. And you got to be walking right as well.
We got to be living right. We got to be living for the Lord.
We can't have unconfessed sin in our life, unconfessed sin in our heart, and expect that God's gonna honor that. God's not gonna honor that. He's not gonna answer our prayers with sin in our hearts. You know, sin separates us from God. You know, ever since Adam and Eve in the garden, when they sinned against God, Adam's disobeyed God, and that sin separated them. And that's why we have sin today. That's why we're separated from God today. You know, but here in Psalm 6, we're going to look at another example of a man who prayed an effective prayer. We look at David's prayer here in Psalm chapter 6. Here, Psalm 6. So the first one there says, O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks? I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all mine enemies. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I do love you, Lord, and I do thank you, Lord, for this opportunity here tonight. Lord, I thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray you'll use me here. Fill me with your spirit. Give me your words to speak. Give me clarity of thought, Lord, and just give me your direction here as we look at Psalm 6 and your word here tonight. And we look at the truths of your word and learn more about how we can pray an effective prayer, how we can get our prayers heard, Lord, and we'll give you all the glory for it. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 6 here was written by David in a time when the Lord was severely chasing him. His life at this time is not going well. His health is not very well. His health is fading and he needs to be healed. If you were to do a quick internet search on good health or how to live a healthy life or even like remedies to be healed, you know, you would find that there are so many different things out there. There are so many wrong ideas out there, and it seems like everybody out there has an opinion on what you need to do for it. Buddha said this. He said, health is the greatest gift, and without health, life is not life. Gandhi taught that it is health that is real wealth and no peace, and no, it is health that is real wealth and not pieces of gold and silver. Lao Tzu, the founder of Taoism, said health is the greatest possession. But unfortunately, these men and so many people today turn to powerless sources of hope. They turn to powerless sources for not only health but healing. And really, they offer no hope. They offer no healing. They're filled with false philosophies, false religions that revolve around false gods that cannot grant life, cannot preserve life, and cannot restore life. So many people in the world today worship these false idols that can do nothing, nothing at all. But now the one true God of the Bible is the only healing God. He's the only one. In Exodus 15:26, he says, and says, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. Listen, he says, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that healeth thee. The Lord reveals himself here as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. Now in our text here in Psalm 6, David turned to Jehovah Rapha when his body was broke.
His body is broken and he's in intense pain. His soul is plagued with severe discouragement. His soul is weary from the depression, the discouragement, and he just feels like he cannot go on. And David believed, as you and I here today must believe, that only Jehovah God of the Bible is the only one that has the power to heal. After all, David is under the chastening hand of the Lord right now. This is where his health has deteriorated because he's under the chastening of the Lord for his sin. And we read here in his prayer here in Psalm chapter 6 is for deliverance. His prayer is for deliverance from the chastening of God. Hey, let me tell you, God knows how to chasten his kids. He knows how to chasten his children. I mean, after all, he did create us. He knows us. He knows everything about us. We think we can hide things, and he not know, he knows. And he knows how to chasten us. In Hebrews 12, 6 and 7, it says, For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. Listen, he says, For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? You see, God promises to chasten his own children. If you can go on in life and commit sin after sin after sin, and there's no repercussion, there's no chastening from God, the Bible says you're not his. He says, For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Hey, listen, sin is always a high price to pay. Sin, the cost of sin is always outrageous. Someone said that sin will take you farther than you want to go, it will keep you longer than you want to stay, and it will cost you more than you want to pay. Someone else also said that sin always starts out fun, but it certainly does not end up that way. And David, although his sin may have been fun for a second, David is now under the consequences of his sin. His sin isn't much fun anymore, is it? He's in a dire position. He feels like he's about to die. His soul is so vexed from the chastening hand of God. So today we're going to look at this prayer here in Psalm 6, and we'll continue on with our effective praying. Number one, I want you to see here David's proclamation. David's proclamation here in verse 1, he says, O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. David is going through a serious rebuking of the Lord right now. He's going through a serious rebuke in his life. And again, we looked at Psalm 51 a few weeks ago, and we saw David. What did he say? And again, David is seeking the Lord and his mercy. He is seeking the Lord's mercy. He knows he has sinned. He knows that the sin, this punishment is coming to him because he has sinned. And so he goes to the Lord and he says, O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. So David is not telling the Lord that he does not deserve to be rebuked. He's not doing that. He's pleading with the Lord. He's pleading here with the Lord that the Lord will not rebuke him in his anger. That the Lord will not rebuke him in his anger. And David tells us why. In verse 2, he says, Have mercy upon me, O Lord. And right there you go. For I am weak. For I am weak. Hey, listen. We're all weak. David's reminding God something that he already knows. He already knows we're weak. Every single one of us are weak. Although we think that we're strong, we think we can go in and do everything and we can just handle it all, but in reality, we are all just so weak. We are all weak. And Psalm 103:13 says, Like as the father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. Dust. We are dust. We are weak. We are dust. And in Matthew 26:41, he says, Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing, But what? But the flesh is so weak, isn't it? That flesh is weak, right? We want to do right. We want to live right. We want to read our Bible. We want to go to church and pray and do all the things the Lord tells us to. But the flesh is so weak, we get sidetracked. We get into sin. We get temptations come at us all the time. They come at us one right after another. We're like, when is this going to stop? And He says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The Spirit is willing. It is indeed willing. But that flesh is so weak. You see, David here desires that the Lord would grant His mercy. He wants the Lord to grant him His mercy while He's in chastening. He knows he did wrong. The Lord is chastening him. And we see that this was a right approach to take. This was a right approach for him to take concerning what he's dealing with right here. And he goes to God and he asks Him to have mercy on him. And remember, I'm so weak. We should never go to God and say, you know what, God? My sins aren't that bad. My little white lies, they're not really that bad. Those bad thoughts that I have, they're really not that bad, Lord. They're really not. You know, those evil intentions, those things that I do, they're really not that bad. But guess what? They really are that bad. They're so bad that God had to send His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross right there, to die on the cross of Calvary. You know, they are that bad. They are that bad. They're not just a little white lie. They are that bad. We shouldn't go to God and tell Him that, hey, we're not to blame. Hey, look around. It's that other person. It's not me. James 1:14 says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Right? That's where that temptation comes. And that devil knows how to use that. He knows what it is to get you. You see, the devil's been doing this a long time. He's been tempting people and deceiving people and leading them to hell for a long time. We've only been around a few years. The devil has been deceiving people for many years. Hey, we need to not go to God and tell Him such a good person that we are. Right? Oh, but God, I'm such a good person. Mark 10:18, and Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Hey, God is with you 24 hours a day. You know that? He says He never leaves you nor forsakes you. He's with you 24 hours a day. He's with me 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. He knows your every thought. He knows your every motive. He knows your every deed. He knows your intentions. And He knows exactly what kind of person that you and I are. He knows us. And so the best approach that could be made is just to beg for mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Be merciful to me. I am so weak and there's nothing that I can do to stand before you in my own righteousness. I cannot do it. I need your righteousness. David knew he was guilty. And he knew what to do. Seek God's face. Seek God's face. Look here at the last part of verse 2 and verse 3 there. He says, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. Hey, that word vexed there, it means torment. Right? It's worse. Have you ever had a pain? This is worse. This is in complete torment. And so David is in desperation here. He's desperate, and he describes his desperation to the Lord here. And he says here, he is physically weak. His bones are vexed, they're exhausted, they're feeble. He's really about to the point where he's unable to even care for himself. His suffering is so severe that his bones are trembling in agony. Wow, that's some chastening going on there. Secondly, though, he tells him that it is a severe emotional distress. In verse 3 there, he says, my soul is also sore vexed. And so he's trembling not only because of the physical pain, but also because of that emotional pain. And I believe it's that emotional pain that's far worse than that physical pain. You know, if you're like me, you know, you can go outside and you can just work hard labor and you can do that hard labor. And yeah, at the end of the day, you're tired. but it's a good tire. But when you start working emotional, you start doing the inside jobs and those the desk jobs and the mind and the thinking and the emotional part, that is just draining on a person. It drains you. And that's why I think that the emotional part here, he says he was in anguish. He's sore vexed. And God here is using his sickness, this sickness to discipline David because of sin in his heart and sin in his life. That's why I'm telling you, God is serious about sin. It's not just a little white lie. It's not just a little bad thought. It is sin. And all sin in the sight of God is wicked and bad. But as we're looking here at Psalm 6, with David and this sickness, this illness upon him, I want to remind you here that not all sickness is due to sin. Okay, there are some sicknesses just because of the fact that we live in a sin-sick world. The world that we live in is sin-sick. It is just we bear normal sufferings from, you know, diseases and aging and the body getting old and just illnesses from that. And that's where Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore is by one man sin entered in the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Right, and that's the world that we live in. But also, sickness can be due to a satanic attack. Satan can attack you physically. You read the book of Job. We know Satan attacked Job. And in Job 2, verses 6 and 7, it says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life." Think about that. He says, God says to Satan that Job is in your hand. That's a horrible place to be, isn't it? In the hand of Satan, that's a bad place. But then he says, but save his life. You can do whatever you want to him, but you can't take his life. You cannot take his life. And verse 7 says, "So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown." What I'm saying is Satan can attack you physically. You see, the thing of it is here too, that the devil couldn't do anything to Job without God's permission. So everything has to pass through the Lord first. Hey, whatever you're going through, whatever I'm going through, if it's an illness, if it's a sickness, whatever the case might be, if it's a satanic attack, it had to pass through the Lord first. It had to pass through Him. And thirdly, here's we see in our text that the Lord disciplines us because of sin in our lives. He chastens us, and when He does that, the first thing He's going to do is rebuke us. He's going to rebuke us. He's going to warn us of our sin and its consequences. How does He do that? He does that through His Word. He does that through His Word. He rebukes us through His Word, and that's done by the reading of God's Word. Number one, reading of God's Word. Okay, you got to know your Bible. You got to read your Bible. If you're going through something and you're not reading your Bible, how are you going to know? How are you going to know? Another way that God rebukes us is through preaching of His Word. So He does it through His Word, but He also does it through the preaching of the Word. Right? So whenever the Lord has a message for you and the preacher's to preach it and you're not here, you missed out on what God had for you. Right? Not here. You see, the preaching of the Word, the reading of the Word, it's all done through His Word. John 15:3, John 17:17, Ephesians 5:26, 2 Timothy 4:2 says, "Preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." And so when the Word of God is opened and read, the preaching is from the Word of God. Guess what? Then you have the Holy Spirit that convicts a person. That Holy Spirit will convict that person of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And John 16:80 says that when He has come, which is the Holy Spirit, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and in judgment. That's the first step of rebuke for a chastening. The next step, if you do not get it from that, God is going to chasten you. He is going to chasten you with the rod of correction. So, here's what we should do. We need to, first thing we do when we're afflicted is to examine ourselves. examine our hearts. That's an easy thing to do, right? Because we've been watching, we've been praying. We know that we have to live a righteous life, walking with the Lord.
And so the first thing we need to do, like David's doing here,
is to search our hearts.
See if there's anything in our heart, in our life, unconfessed sin, unrepentant sin.
Psalm 139, verse 23 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." Hey, look, he says, "Search me." He didn't say, "Look over there at your neighbor. Look over there at the person sitting next to you to the left. Look over there at the person sitting there next to..." No, he did not say, "Worry about everybody else." He said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." See, this is personal here. And David recognized that the sin in his life was because of the sin in his life. That's why he's suffering here. In 1 Corinthians 11:30, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the Lord, with the world." David here is being chastened of the Lord. He cries out in verse 3. Look at there. He says, "O Lord, how long? Lord, how long is this going to go on? My bones are sore vexed. My soul is sore vexed. I don't know if I can handle this anymore. I don't know if I can survive this. O Lord, how long?" David here is powerless. The mighty man of valor, David. He killed a lion and a bear with his own hand, and he was a warrior. But he's powerless here. He's powerless. There's nothing he can do. There is nowhere he can go. There's no self-help here going to help him. He can't get on the internet and say, "What's a quick self-help thing that I can do?" No. The only way he can go is to Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals, is the only one that's going to heal him. The only one that can provide comfort. Hey, can I just tell you that whatever it is you're going through today, whether it's an ailment, whether it's an illness, whether it's a disease, whether it's an infirmity, whether it's a depression or a discouragement, whatever it is, Jehovah Rapha is the one to help. He's the one to turn to, not the internet, not the social media. Turn to the Lord. Let me give you another one here. Number 2, we have David's prayer. Look at verse 4 through 7 there. We'll see David's prayer. It says, "Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake, for in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave who shall give thee thanks? I am weary with my groaning, all the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all mine enemies." Hey, listen, when we come to God, when we come before God in a prayer, we seek His face, we need to be honest with ourselves. We need to empty our hearts. We need to not hold anything back, not leave any nooks and crannies, any off limits. We need to be honest with God. You see, when we're not honest with God, we're not going to pray effective prayers. When we're holding back from God, our prayers are going to be ineffective prayers. You see, the Bible teaches that we are to confess our sins to God. In 1 John 1:9, it says, "If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." We're to confess those sins. We're to walk a righteous life with the Lord. And when those temptations come, you know, and we do fall into sin, hey, it should be a quick get back. The Holy Spirit has rebuked us. We get right back with the Lord. And we confess our sin. But unfortunately, you and me and so many Christians, you know, a lot of people, they'll go on and they'll live parts of their life in misery, like David was living here, living his life in misery when he don't have to. But why is that? Why is it? Why are we willing to live in misery when we know all we have to do is confess our sin? All we have to do is come clean with God, confess our sin. But a lot of times, we're all kind of looking at somebody. We're looking at who can we blame? Well, you know, if it wasn't for that wife you gave me, Lord, if it wasn't for that husband you gave me, Lord, I could do a whole lot better. You know, if it wasn't for those kids, man, those kids just are never going to get it. But we're blaming other people. We're blaming the church. We're blaming the pastor. We're blaming the weather. But we're looking for people and things to blame instead of just coming clean with God, getting right with God. God already knows. He already knows our heart. So why do we think we can hide it from Him? Why do we think that we can just deceive our own self, just forsake it? But David, you know, David, he didn't get to that place immediately either. You remember the story with David? David commits adultery with Bathsheba. She becomes pregnant. And David has her husband murdered out on the battlefield, Uriah. You know, and it was almost about a year later, the prophet Nathan comes to David and tells him a story about an evil man. He tells him a story about a wicked man, and King David recognized the sin of this evil man. It was a tremendous sin. He realized that man, whoever that was, should be punished and put to death, and David wanted to know who it was. David wanted to know who it was. I want to know who that is because I'm going to go get him and I'm going to have him put to death. And Nathan said, "Thou art the man." He said, "David, you are the man. David, that is you. You deserve death, David. That is you." But from that time on, David saw himself the way God saw him. And he didn't like what he saw. He did not like what he saw. Verse 4 there, look at verse 4, says, "Return, O Lord, deliver my soul, O save me for thy mercy's sake." David couldn't renew himself in the Lord. He couldn't get peace on his own. He couldn't get that fellowship that he once had with God back. His sin had put a barrier between them. And he really felt like he had been forsaken by God, because he was. He was forsaken by God because of that sin. And here he says that he was sore vexed. He's in fear for his life. He thinks his life is probably going to end. He doesn't think he can go on anymore. And he begs God to deliver him from this. In Psalm 51:12, if you remember that one, he says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." You see, again, David didn't lose his salvation. What he's missing is the joy of his salvation. He's missing that sweet fellowship of the Lord. You know, he had that sweet talk, that sweet walk with the Lord, and now it's missing. He lost that. He missed that. He says there in verse 4, he says, "Oh, save me for thy mercy's sake." In verse 4 there, "for thy mercy's sake." You know, if God dealt with us in justice, if we were to get what we deserve, nobody would be here. We all deserve death. And so David is begging and pleading for mercy. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. David is pleading for that mercy. There in verse 5 he says, "For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave who shall give thee thanks?" David realized who God is. He saw God clearly for who He is. He's a holy God. He's a just God, a righteous God. He's a loving God. And David wanted that sweet relationship back. He wanted that sweet time of communion back. And he prayed. He prayed there in verse 5 that he can continue to live and worship and serve the Lord. I mean, think about that. Is that our prayer? That should be our prayer. No matter how much time we have left, if we have a day, a month, a year, 10 years, is our prayer to just live and worship and serve the Lord? No matter what. No matter if you're the only one. No matter if I'm the only one here. Am I willing to just live and worship and serve the Lord with whatever time is left? Is that our prayer here today? Verse 6 there says, "I am weary with my groaning. All my night make on my bed to swim. I water my couch with tears. Mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all mine enemies." Hey, David cried out for healing. He cries out for healing. because he can no longer bear the pain. He was a broken man. He's broken. Have you ever cried out for God to heal? Have you ever been in that position and you needed healing? And you're standing at the Jordan River and there's nothing to do and you got to get across. And you cry out, where's the Lord God of Elijah? Have you ever had a moment in time like that? Hey, you know what? God is a God that heals. He's going to heal no matter what. And usually healing will come in one of three ways. Healing will come naturally. You see, our bodies have a tendency to naturally heal themselves. Healing will also come supernaturally, meaning God is still in the business of healing. He's still in the business of reaching down and touching a person and healing that person in a way that nobody else could do it, in a way that you would say, only God could do that. Only God could do that. No medicine, no man could do that. That was only God. And thirdly there, sometimes He heals ultimately. Sometimes He heals ultimately, and sometimes He just says, you know, I'm just going to bring you on home. I'm just going to bring you on home up with me up into heaven, and I'm going to give you a glorified body, and you're not going to have to suffer anymore. I'm just going to bring you on home to heaven, and you're not going to have to worry about the pain, the suffering, none of that anymore. You know, He's just going to heal completely. You know, every person in the Bible that was healed of some infirmity eventually suffered again. And I think of Lazarus. Lazarus was dead 4 days in the tomb, in the grave, buried 4 days. And Jesus comes and he says, Lazarus, come forth. And he raised Lazarus from the dead. But you know what? There came a day when Lazarus died again. But when the Lord takes us home, when we leave this earthly place and this earthly body, He'll give us a new body. Oh, and we won't have to worry about the pain and suffering anymore. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Let me give you the last one here. The last one is David's pardon. David's pardon. The last two verses there. It says, depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplications. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. Somewhere between verse 7 and verse 8, something happened. Did you see that? Verse 7, he's ready to quit still. He says, mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all my enemies. And then in verse 8, he's victorious again. He says, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. Hey, David gave it to the Lord. He gave it all to the Lord. He gave it all. What's going on in your life today? Have you given it to the Lord? Why don't you just give it to Him? Don't try and find some quick solution to it on the internet. Just give it to the Lord. Let Him do with it what He wants. Let Him heal you. Let him do what only He can do. He is Jehovah Rapha. All the pain, all the despair, the depression, the agony, the anguish. Just leave it all on the throne of grace and don't go back and pick it up. David cast his burden upon the Lord and God sustained him. And you can do that tonight as well. A physical ailment. Hey, you remember Psalm 55:22, he says, cast thy burden upon the Lord. It's that simple. Just cast your burden upon the Lord and He shall sustain me. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Cast your burden upon the Lord. Hey, David did that. He cast his burden on the Lord. He confessed his sin. His relationship was restored. God answered his prayer. And he lets all of his enemies know, hey, I'm back in the game. I'm coming to get you. The Lord has heard my prayer. You know, He's going to heal me. You better run. There's your warning, enemies. You better run. I'm a coming. But where does it all start? It all starts in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We got to confess it and forsake it. Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let's pray.